Thanks, Greg. Yes, we are backstage with Daniel Matsukawa, principal bassoon of the Philadelphia Orchestra, since 2000.
That is correct.
Wow, 20 years.
20 years. This is my 20th season.
Can you give us a little bit of historical context about how composers have written for the bassoon?
For the most part, the bassoon was used for various different roles. Sometimes we're used as a, back then in the Baroque period, like basso continuo. Other times we'll be used as an obbligato part. Someone like Vivaldi introduced the concerto for the bassoon as like, well, for example, he wrote 38 bassoon concertos for us.
Do we know why he was so interested in that?
Rumor has it that Vivaldi was in love with a woman who loved the sound of the bassoon. Therefore, we are very grateful to that woman who inspired Vivaldi to write these great works for our instrument.
So we're about to hear a piece by Louise Franck, mm-hmm. who was writing in the mid-1800s.
Right.
How does she use the bassoon?
I found out that she studied with Anton Reicha, who happened to be a prolific composer for woodwind quintets. A woodwind quintet is comprised of flute, oboe, clarinet, bassoon, and French horn. The way we always think of woodwind quintets, it's always funny to me because it's a string quartet is like a family. You have these different sizes of the same instrument, just made of wood and strings, and they all have a bow. It's just violin and then get bigger, viola and cello. And when you come to a woodwind quintet, you have the flute made of metal often, and you have the oboe, sometimes made of grenadilla wood and or rosewood or what have you, and then the clarinet also could be made by grenadilla wood and various sorts. And then we have the bassoon made of maple, and then we have the French horn in there. What is the French horn doing in a woodwind quintet, not even made of wood? It's a brass instrument. So I always like to say like a string quartet is like a family, very homogenous and blending beautifully, and a woodwind quintet is like a visit to the zoo. But Reicha wrote beautifully for the woodwind quintet, and it's interesting to find out and hear that Franck studied with Reicha. And in this symphony, you will hear, there are many, many great moments, beautiful moments, where she uses the woodwinds to come out and come through in her work. Sometimes there are these little, I'll call them diddlies, or these little impromptus, and they're really great soloistic moments. And she has the woodwind players shine. And for that, I'm really having a lot of fun playing this. And you will hear it when you listen to the symphony coming up. And there are really, again, many moments where the woodwinds are highlighted throughout this symphony.
Franck also, understand, wrote a lot of chamber music. So when you're playing this symphony, can you hear that in the symphony?
Oh, absolutely. And in fact, a lot of those moments where it is just the woodwinds who are featured, it is very much like chamber music. It's almost like we're playing this little quintet moment, or sometimes a quartet moment, or sometimes just a duet or a trio. It is absolutely like chamber music in the middle of this great symphonic work. And then the last movement too, there's some, in the bassoon, there are passages that are very familiar to us because it feels like it just came out of his ninth symphony, Beethoven's ninth symphony, and sort of makes us smile because we're like, oh my God, this sounds just like Beethoven's works. However, at the same time, when I hear the slow movement or when we're playing the slow movement, it also feels like late Haydn.
Wow. Well, I guess it's understandable considering when she was composing. You've mentioned before the range of the bassoon. What is the range?
The range is about 3.5 octaves from low B flat. So if you can picture a cello, the lowest open string on the cello is a low C, and we play a whole step below that is our lowest note, a B flat. And then we can go up to jump up an octave, two octave, three octaves, and to usually an F or a G above that. It's quite a wide range.
So you can both be a support player with supporting the bass line and also play solo at lines high above that.
Right, absolutely. And especially in the tenor range. And I particularly love that register. And I guess playing first bassoon, often composers wrote for our instrument using the tenor range for many beautiful lyrical moments and solos.
You mentioned that it sounded like Beethoven to you in parts. Which parts?
There is a moment in the end of the first movement that, again, it feels very much like the end of the first movement of Beethoven Symphony No. 2. For example, I would actually say in every movement, you will hear the influence and you'll be able to hear it right away. And I would say when I perform or play or hear her music, Franck's music, it's not like, oh, she's copying Beethoven. And I don't mean that at all. It's, you can hear that there's influence there, but it's clearly her language. Actually, she's a beautiful composer, and it makes me want to go and listen to more of her works, her other works. And perhaps even, I'm curious to see if maybe we can perform more of her other works in the future.
That's great. It is exciting because apparently her work was performed a lot in the mid-1800s and then hasn't really been since. So it's exciting to hear it now, and we look forward to the second half. Thank you so much for talking with us, Daniel Matsukawa.
Thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure.